Welcome to a festive special episode of Two Woods Four Quarters, a Harlequins podcast. My name's Michael, and as always, I'm sat here with my cousin Will. How's things, mate? A few days out from Christmas Day. Feeling good? Feeling festive?
Merry Christmas, mate. Yeah, I'm feeling good. In fact, actually, I'm feeling quite cold. My boiler's broken, so I've got no hot water and I've got no heating. Funny how these things always seem to happen at the coldest time of year. It never happens in the summer, does it? But I'm coping. I'm surviving. I'm looking forward to a big week in the build-up to Christmas and a slightly different big game.
What have you been doing then? Have you been dipping a cloth in a pot of boiling water from the kettle and washing your pits, or
just not washed for 3 days, mate?
Nice.
No, I went to my mates yesterday. Actually, it escalated because I went round for a shower and ended up staying for 7 hours watching all of the European rugby. Had copious amounts of Heineken and Corona and ended up in a karaoke bar till 2 a.m. So, yeah, good weekend on my front.
I remember the Christmas of 2020. So the year that obviously everything was still shut and big game and stuff. Yeah, I remember coming up to my house in Teddington on around the 28th or the 29th, because at the same time our boiler was fixed, but my housemates were in either Devon or the Midlands, and I had no hot water and no heating for 4 days, and I sat in bed in about 4 layers of clothes and genuinely didn't wash for 4 days. I couldn't even
Why did you just confess that?
Well, it's just a talking point, isn't it? I couldn't go to the gym. I couldn't go and go to a mate's house. We were all, slammed up with COVID, and it was a pretty bleak time. But we made it. We got through it.
Yeah.
In other news,
just to tell the tale.
Yeah, we'll move on from smelly armpits to some slightly disappointing news. There were whispers. There were rumours. There were inklings and some really, really disappointing news has come out in the last couple of days. Big game 14, the fastest selling big game in history against Bristol at the Big Stoop. It almost felt like the rebirthing to me of big game, because obviously 2020, when I was sat in my house not washing, we missed it because of COVID. 2021, Omicron was flying around and people were nervous about going and, oh, is it going to be on because of the numbers are rising, all this sort of stuff. But then this one was like, right, we're back. We're in. Nothing can stop us. The best day of the year, my favourite day of the whole year. And then, due to things outside of our control, the game's off. And it's going to be rescheduled for the 4th of March against Exeter, which is great. We're still going to get the day. Everything's still going to be mega. The boys and girls in the staff at the Stoop and in the club are going to be doing, 10, 15 fold what they've been doing for what was going to be on the 27th. But it is really disappointing. We're also still going to be playing against Bristol at home on the 27th. So big game will be at the Stoop. It won't be quite the same.
Mini big game.
Mini big game, yeah. It won't be quite the same. But what's your feeling on this? Obviously, this it's just something that's going to happen now. There's no fighting it. There's no point in getting cross or angry or upset. But how are you feeling about it?
Mick Lynch is a Saris fan.
Here we go.
How do I feel about it? Look, it's out of our control, right? There's train strikes. There's nothing we can do about it. It wouldn't be safe to operate a match day of 80,000 plus people, where the only method of transport is cars and buses. Too much footfall. Not enough transport, out of our hands. Can only control what we can control. It's massively disappointing. It's obviously rugby Christmas. It's such a big financial weapon in our arsenal as a club. We're so reliant on it. It's something really special that no other club can provide. Only Harlequins do this, and only Harlequins do this properly. So it's such a shame for it to be almost breaking tradition and move to March. But it's a solution to a problem. So it's a good thing. I just worry about the financial impact. I was sat there the 2 days where it was being speculated on and then eventually announced. I was sat there thinking, what can we do? Can we do anything? From a fan's perspective, you and I as a podcast, what can we do? We put some social bits out just trying to rally the morale of the fans and try and change the narrative a little bit. But I'm not sure what we can actually do. I was talking to my mate at the weekend who's an Ulster fan, And he was telling me how obviously Ulster had to move their Champions Cup fixture against the defending champions, La Rochelle. They had to move it from the Kingspan in Belfast to Dublin. So not even in Northern Ireland anymore. It had to be played behind closed doors, although they still let a few La Rochelle fans in anyway, which I'm sure pissed off quite a few people. But he was telling me how he thinks they're going to lose about 700k from that fixture, or he'd read somewhere that the club will lose 700k from that fixture. And it just goes to show the importance of every single match day. And when clubs come around to planning and talk about profits and losses and financial planning for different quarters, you factor in your expected income. And this was probably quite a big part of ours. So
it's a huge part of ours. It's enormous. You know, talking about feeling sorry for the fans, you know, at Ulster there, I mean, this isn't just us that it affects. This affects, you know, I wonder how many Bristol fans, probably I'd imagine in the sort of 5,000 and 10,000 of Bristol fans travelling up. You know, they're a well-travelled bunch, Bristol, and we've had some amazing games against Bristol in the last 2 or 3 years. It's actually, weirdly, one of the big games I was more excited about due to the opposition. Whenever a big game comes around, I just go, right, we're playing, it's going to be mega, we're going to sell the place out, it'll be unbelievable, massive day, great beers. But actually, I saw this big game this year as a bit more of a proper contest and one that's so exciting. Bristol aren't brilliant this year, but we always have some amazing games against them. Think about Bristol and the home game a couple of years ago. And their fans are affected by this just as much as ours. You know, they don't have that game now. And I don't, I mean, if we see any Bristol fans in at the Stoop on the 27th, I will be amazed and I will, you know, go and say hello and shake their hands, because obviously it's gone out to season ticket holders, but then it's gone in and all the tickets are gone in, in a flash. I don't know if any Bristol fans are even going to be able to get there, which is horrible. I think you make a really good point there. And the main thing about this is that this obviously just doesn't come from one person. This is a massive, massive club effort to make sure that all the communication and everything is redone and everything's as good as it possibly can be. The club are unbelievable at finding solutions and not dwelling on problems. And like I said, this isn't just one person, but obviously Laurie is at the helm of it. Whenever something seems to happen within the club, or whenever something good happens, or whether there's an issue, his way of communicating with the fan base and with the wider audience, I am always mesmerised by. And I won't read the whole statement. I'm just going to very quickly read the last sort of few lines from the open letter to the fans that went out on our social media pages that was penned in by Laurie. And the last bit reads, I'm sorry that we are in the crossfire of this industrial action, and decisions that shouldn't affect us are having a profound effect on our club, our supporters and Bristol Bears. Your patience, loyalty and backing remains the daily driver for us all. And he obviously, you know, says he looks forward to seeing hopefully as many of us there on the 27th and the 4th of March. But yeah, it's hugely disappointing. And I want to just finish the doom and gloom before we move on to revving up the fixture a little bit. But big game is always my favourite day of the year. It's the one day when the summer ends and the winter comes in, I look forward to it on the calendar. We lost one at 2020. I was devastated when it was broken that we were going to lose this one. But hopefully, the 4th of March is as big and as good, if not better, than it was going to be on the 27th. And we still have a fixture, don't we? We still have Premiership points on the line. It's still a doubleheader against Bristol. You know, both programmes playing on the same day at the Stoop. That's not happened before to my knowledge either. So that's going to be an amazing day. Obviously, from where we sit in the South Stand, we're going to look over the ground and see the big Stoop in the background, and it will have a little bit of a strange feel to it. But you know, we're still going to have a fixture. So I urge anyone listening, make sure that you know you roll your tickets over for that 4th of March. Make sure you get yourselves down there. Those of you that are going to be in on the 27th, you know, let's make a big odd racket and enjoy some Christmas beers. Hopefully, it's going to be amazing. But yeah, bit of a sad way to start.
Do we still get to use all the fireworks?
No, can we fit 80,000?
God, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Can we fit 80,000?
That would warm everybody up a bit. We'll have like a sphere of heat going around the top of the stadium.
Does the sound system for the Stoop resonate? Are we still going to get faithless? I don't know. Are there going to be any surprises? Do you reckon any surprises on the day? Do you reckon?
I don't think they'll be faithless. There's the resident Friday Night Lights DJ who does all of the nighttime games. Yeah. DJ Charles Stape, I think it is. She'll probably be doing it, and I'm sure Faithless will roll over into March. Assuming they're free, I hope so.
Mm. Well, if Faithless has gone, no, sorry, I'm at some Ibiza nightclub that day. Sorry, no, don't worry, I'll come back and do a big game. That's more important.
It's probably a bigger gig than some Ibiza nightclub,
probably. But yeah, like we say, it is a shame, but we'll move on. There's also a little bit of news that's come out in the last couple of days about some restructuring of the Premiership.
Lots of league restructures, isn't there? Premier 15s as well.
Premier 15s and the Premiership. Now, this is, a bit interesting. This is a bit more your remit, given your professional life. But in 2024-25 season, the Premiership will be reborn as the league looks to recover from a turbulent period off the field, is the opening statement on the BBC article. And obviously, this is probably coming off the back of the demise of Wasps, the demise of Worcester, both clubs going out of business. There's been news this week about Wasps being reborn back into the Championship, but Worcester haven't due to financial stuff, etc., etc. What do you make of this? You obviously know a little bit more about it than I do. What's your take?
Yeah, this could only be a good thing, right? Rugby in general has been screaming out for a little bit of a shake-up, and it appears the Premiership's about to have one. It's quite tricky to read into it too much, not exactly sure what it entails. So Premiership Rugby's outlined four main areas of emphasis going forward. I'll just read them out to you so you can kind of understand what the changes might be, and then I'll leave it up to you to make your own opinions. But the first one is, there's going to be the establishment of an independent financial monitoring panel, which will oversee all club finances. So this is in a bid to avoid the fate that befell Worcester and Wasps. The second one is, there's going to be a new sporting commission, which would be independently chaired and make decisions on behalf of the league. The third one, finalising the new PGA with the biggest area of focus, the structure of the English professional game going forward, and a clear vision of what the second tier championship looks like and how promotion and relegation will work. I think we can all be unanimous in saying that that's probably been crying out for that for a very long time, in terms of promotion, relegation, and having a consistent structure there. And then the final point that they make is, there's going to be a commitment to the growth plan with an aim to continue to build the league's fan base, using experience from cricket competitions like the 100 to engage a new audience. Again, it all sounds very positive. What that actually looks like, not too sure, but this restructure, 2024-2025, it sounds like rugby is trying to go in a positive direction and break its mold a little bit. So it sounds like we could be in for an exciting couple of years. Let's see what happens with that. Another league restructure going on, the Allianz Premier 15s. Go on, this one's for you.
Yeah, this has caused a little bit of a stir.
It's funny, actually, isn't it? Because we just talk about the progressive nature of Premiership Rugby there and how they're going to try and do something different in a couple of years and shake up the league a bit. Not entirely sure what that means yet, but the ambition is there. And then we talk about the Premier 15s now, and it's almost quite old school and backwards in that you need to apply for the league. And even then, some teams are getting rejected. Bath got rejected. London Irish got rejected. Sale, Sharks, who are third in the league at the moment, just been booted out.
I know.
There's no Northern representation past Leicester.
So eight clubs have been offered a place in the next cycle. The RFU has said that they have the capacity for 10 sides. So this might not be final. But at the minute, Leicester have joined, as have Ealing Trailfinders. Now, I've spent a little bit of time down at Ealing in a work capacity in the last sort of year or so. Interesting seeing their sort of ground and set up and see what they can offer the league. Along with obviously the incumbent sides, Northampton, Bristol, Gloucester, Hartbury, Harlequins, Saracens, all supported by men's Premiership sides as well. But yeah, DMP and Sale have been left out, as obviously have Worcester and Wasps. So yeah, the north of the M25 and the Midlands contingent is lacking a little bit. This isn't something that either of us have got a huge amount of knowledge on, so we're not going to, you know, go real detailed into the opinions of it, but it does seem a little bit of a shame. I remember a few years ago, people talking about growing the Premiership in a different way. Do you remember when Leeds were in the Premiership and Leeds has been crying out for a Premiership team for a long time?
I was at university when Leeds were pushing for promotion from the Championship, and look at them now. They're in that one, I think it is, struggling to get a win.
Yeah, it's all a bit...
It's very easy to fall in rugby. It's very easy to spiral. I'm pleased to see Wasps are getting back in the Championship and trying to rebuild. But I think just even this narrative of teams spiraling can transfer into the women's game, where obviously there's even less funding and even less exposure and even less access to the sport. So to just completely abolish it from the northern part of England is ridiculous. It's counterproductive.
Yeah. Well, look, we've done a little bit of the gloom and doom roundup at the minute. We need to.
Yes. So, if you're still listening to us, wow, you've done well. This is supposed to be our festive episode.
I know. We need to inject a little bit of festive cheer into it. Hopefully, you know, hopefully all this news is going to be good long term. Blah 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 blah. Let's not bang on about it. However, and we will talk about wrestling in a minute. We sit here about a week out from Christmas. And obviously, we're a Harlequins podcast. We're going to try and keep this a little bit Harlequins-based. I hope you've been a good boy this year. I'm not sure if you have. I know that, you know, you're, you know, working hard all the time. And for those of you that don't know Will, he's got this amazing sort of demeanor about being this workaholic, charming, charismatic young man. But behind the, you know, the gorgeous eyes lie the demons. So I hope you've been a good boy all year.
Trying to expose me here.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot. I've got a Christmas wish list for you. What's top of your list for Santa? You've got three wishes. This isn't genie in a bottle. I was just about to say,
this is Aladdin, isn't it?
This is genie in a bottle. This is your Christmas wish list. Three things that you can have.
I'll rub my Harlequins rugby ball instead of my lamp.
Yeah.
Let's try and keep innuendos out of this. Let's
talk about rubbing our balls. Now. Three things on your Christmas list for Quins this year as a club. Are you looking at signings? Do you want something to happen in the ground? Are you looking at some more alcoholic-based, you know, treats and snacks and prizes? What are you looking for, mate?
Are we talking realistically?
Yeah, let's go realistic.
Hypothetically, like blue sky thinking, what would be my dream?
Let's try and keep within the realms of possibility.
Okay. Well, number one on my Quinn's Christmas wish list is for a new tight head to replace Wilco.
Okay.
World class standard. An international that isn't necessarily in the international setup. Someone that's got full availability. Somebody that's a world beater. Somebody that's going to come in and replace Wilco seamlessly, and our scrum's going to dominate the Premiership for years to come. That's number one on my list.
Have you got a name that's top of that pile?
I don't. But interestingly, what I've been reading is Thomas Dutoit is all but confirmed with Bath, which would say to me Will Stewart is on his way out. So make of that what you will. I know you're grimacing. It's not the world-beating tight head that we were perhaps hoping for, but he's an international tight head that is a very good Premiership standard and will come in and do a good job, I think. I think he'll fit in with the Quinsey way. And like I've said to you previously, any prop that comes and gets coached by Adam Jones is going to improve.
I think getting Will Stewart, and look, this is going to sound really disrespectful to what is an international tight head, but getting Will Stewart as the number one, or as the top of your Christmas list, feels like going to Halfords and getting a bike. And you want the one with flames and, you know, sort of tassels and chopper riding sort of style bikes, and you get the second hand one that's got.
I did not say Will Stewart was top of my Christmas wish list. Your grandparents might get you this present and you're kind of like, oh, well, thanks anyway. But actually, it turns out you're pretty pleased with it.
This is going to sound horrific to Will Stewart. So if there are any Bath fans listening, I apologise. But getting Will Stewart as our new tight head is like asking for a bike for Christmas and getting one with stabilisers.
Adam Jones will get the stabilisers off.
Maybe. Go on then. Number two.
A new world-class tight head would be number one. The Stoop's selling out every week. I'd love to see. We've just seen the North Stand redeveloped, and it's absolutely brilliant. I love going up to the North Stand now for pre-match beers. I love how Stoop Live is in there. It's really separated the fan experience across the ground, not in that southwest corner where we so often play. So actually, I'd love to see another development to the stadium. And I know these things aren't cheap, so that's why I asked if it's going to be realistic or not. But surely the next step in our stadium development is to add some capacity. Maybe fill in the corners a little bit, make it a little bit of a bowl. I think that'd be quite cool. Maybe not so that it blocks off the walkways. It'd be nice if it was a bowl, but it had a gap at the bottom. You know when we went to Montpellier away?
Yeah.
And it was almost like a coliseum where the first row of seats was actually 10 feet in the air.
Yeah.
I'd quite like it if we filled in the corners and had like the first seats 10 feet in the air. Almost like Twickers in the corners where you can walk under.
I don't know. I'm always conscious.
I think it'd be quite cool to make it a bit of like a Coliseum bowl. Fill in those corners, tot it up to 20K. Start selling out 20k every week.
I'm always conscious of a bowl stadium. I don't know. They lack a little bit of atmosphere for me. I'm not sure. I quite like having the...
I've got an argument for that. I think the London Irish Stadium as a bit of a bowl is absolutely brilliant, but I can't come back with an argument to say the atmosphere is amazing. It's only amazing yeah. when we go. It's only amazing when we go. But I think, yeah, their ground's great. And actually, to fill in the corners in similar vein to that, I think we'd get a really good chorus of Quinn's chants going around the venue.
Just before we started recording this, you told me you were at a karaoke bar last night. And obviously, I know that we like piling into the North Stand in the evenings. What about... What about getting up on the mic?
Yeah,
is that number three?
That's number one of my Quinn's Christmas wish list. Is I think they should get rid of the band that play in the Rob Shaw Bar. I like the Rob Shaw Bar and I like the live music, but
you want to be the man on the mic?
Oh, make that open mic. Yeah, 100%.
Open mic. You just want to get up and
maybe
do
not
American
at the
Pie.
Start of the evening, because that would just clear the place out before 7 o'clock at night. Maybe once 8 o'clock hits, the band retire for the evening and an open mic night starts.
You just want to do American Pie in the Rob Shaw Bar, don't you?
You just want to do Place Your Hands.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, fair enough. Anything else sort of top of your list? You know, I mean, we've got a new signing at Tighthead. We've got, you know...
I mean, it's quite hard. This is like asking the kid who's got everything already what he would like for Christmas. We've got the most exciting team in the league. We've got the best kit in the league. We've got a quality stadium. We've got an unbelievable CEO. We have insane events like big game, big summer kickoff. We do a pride fixture. This is the club that's got everything, right? So how can you make it better? And I just think little things like open mic night, international Tighthead, and making the Super Bowl would really improve it.
So we've gone realistic there. I'll give you one more on your list for some blue sky thinking, something that's a little bit far-fetched, you know, a real pipe dream, a real Christmas dream.
Damian McKenzie.
Okay.
Yeah, with Tommy Allen leaving, he can come in, he can cover 10 and 15 for the rest of his career.
He likes the stoop as well, does Damien?
He loves the stoop, yeah. He did get a yellow card there.
Fair. Well, look, he does like the stoop. That is pretty blue sky, yeah.
Or another 10-year contract for Danny Kerr.
Wow, okay. Are you going to put him into some sort of cryogenic Benjamin Button-style chamber and make sure that he's going to be... I wonder what his hairline will be like in 10 more years.
Well, he already said it's come from the back of his head already, so...
Anyone listening that's got anything they want to stick on our Quinn's Christmas list, drop us a tweet, let us know, drop us a DM on Instagram, drop us an email, and we'll see what we can do. You know, the power of the podcast, we'll make these things happen. I'm going to try and make you have your karaoke night at open mic. I'm going to make that happen for you.
Like Quinn's Secret Santa, this, isn't it?
Yeah, I will be the elves. If Laurie's Santa, I will be his elf, and I'll make that happen for you, okay? That's a promise.
What? The tallest elf ever.
Yeah. Those are some long, like, sort of tight things that I've got to wear. It's not a good look. Anyway, I digress. Let's move on to Racing.
As Michael tours the pubs of TW2, drinking to a glorious 4 points, I fly solo with the match review this week from our European clash. Racing 92 making the trip to a very cold and wet southwest London as torrential rain poured down at the stoop. Perhaps pathetic fallacy for the train strikes, which impacted our attendance, a story we know only too well after this week's big game despair. Or perhaps it was pathetic fallacy for the French national team's World Cup final defeat, a contest with far greater scoring prowess than what we witnessed at the stoop, and a packed out stadium in much more pleasant playing conditions. The GOAT Leo Messi lifted the trophy aloft above his head, but it was our GOAT Will Evans causing referee Craig Evans to lift his arms aloft all evening. The clamp putting in another jackaling masterclass, this time on European rugby's biggest stage. A gritty, dogged performance that the producer of the highlights package won't lose too much sleep over. A bit of niggle between both sets of players adding an additional layer of bite to what could be one of the greatest club away days come January as we cross the channel and venture into Parisian territory. An early score for the men in the quarters. George Head with a delicious line break, leaving lazy runner Finn Russell in his wake.
Kerr to the shorter side. Oh, space here for Head. Lovely burst from Head. He's gone beyond Russell. He's gone all the way and he will slide home for a tremendous score on his Heineken Champions Cup debut.
A timely score to silence Delalio just moments after suggesting it would be a tough evening for our young hooker. Russell very much the second best Finn on the pitch in this contest. A game to forget for the supposed million-pound man soon to be announced as a Premiership player at Bath. A record number of charge downs must have been in close reckoning, though neither side kicked particularly well throughout the 80-minute slugfest. Yet there was no panic and a healthy level of confidence amongst fans, both in the ground and online. Much the team in control, much the team who would decide the outcome. Andre Esterhazen doing Andre Esterhazen things, barreling through the midfield, splattering Russell, Fiku and Saili across London on his way. An almost identical score to his just short effort the previous week against the Sharks. Those would be the only points of a scratchy second 40, in which both teams did everything in their power to lose the game. A red card for Rassing, no arguments to be had there. Another game that won't be remembered. But it's nice that this club, this team, these players are becoming the mentality monsters that dig out wins when wins aren't pretty. A team of razzle-dazzle and flair encouraged, an attitude slightly counterproductive at times, but an uncompromising confidence and belief that can't be questioned or faulted. Not many stars in the night sky for the last European clash of the weekend, but Baxter certainly shone brightest. A coming-of-age performance for the 20-year-old England loosehead, a performance well beyond his years that had a solid Rassing pack on roller skates and their left winger still being pulled out of the turf after being buried in the latter stages. A full 80 minutes, Joe Marler-esque. A passing of the torch moment will come one day. Maybe that day will be sooner than we expect. The longer he's under the tutelage of Bomb and in training with Joe, the better this kid is going to get. A debut made at tight head against the same opposition a few years ago. How he's rewritten the script this time.
And Adam Jones here as well, in terms of helping to develop your career. How significant has that been?
Majorly, majorly. So ever since my first year, when I played Rassing 2 years ago, I was a tight head. Bomb moved me over and it's been pretty good sailing since. So
Tommy Madeswell on his final kick, taken 6 seconds before the clock had hit the red. Ultimately, decisions that are good to get wrong now rather than later, but a timely reminder that a ruthless edge is still required. A word for the fans who endured the weather woes and transport challenges. The stoop sounded in fine voice amidst a time in which feels the wind has been knocked out of our sails somewhat. We could have plenty to cheer about heading into Christmas, with a very winnable trip to Rassing in January, followed by the Sharks at home. All that stands between us and knockout rugby in Europe. Perhaps we'll get our second European away day after all. The medical tent feels close to capacity at the moment, but some positive developments with both Lewis Liner and Captain Big Steph will feel like new signings in what we hope to be January returns. Looking ahead, after Christmas, a Will Wood starting 15 for Bristol in the mini big game after the break won't raise too many eyebrows. With Marler back in to deal with Sinclair, a bench spot is reserved for Baxter to continue his streak of growth. Wacker and Lowe come back in to start for what will ultimately be the biggest test posed by the Bristolian outfit. A scrummaging battle that, if we're able to dictate, should allow our back row and backs to cause some mayhem. Hurst and Lamb continue in the row, with Lord A in for Kenningham the only change I'd make if Kenner's knock proves too much to recover from. Danny, Tommy, Andre and March continue in the backline spine, with Caden and Bassett forming quite a deadly wing partnership. Nick David's shown sparks of brilliance in the last few outings. He'll be our 15 until Tyrone returns, but as most will agree, a team with threats to invoke fear into any opposition. Around us, we see Leicester host Gloucester in a 5th v 4th clash, potentially with a new head coach. While second place Sale travel to Newcastle in the Battle of the North, never an easy contest. Not too much change can happen. If results go our way, we could finish the year in second. Should things go wrong, we won't drop any further than 4th. As always, share your thoughts with us, the usual channels at Harlequins Pod on social, and we'll wrap up the episode with some festive messages from some club legends.
Hello to all the Harlequins Pod listeners, Stefan Levies here. Just wanted to drop in and wish you all a Merry Christmas. Thank you for all your continuous support so far this season. Hope to see you at the stoop over the rest of the season and hopefully we can lift some silverware.
Hi, Harlequins Pod listeners. A massive Merry Christmas from me, Izzy Mayhew. We can't wait to see you all at the Stoop on the 27th for the doubleheader against Bristol.
Will, Mike, Dave Rogers here. A very Merry Christmas. and a happy new year to you and everyone at the award-winning Harlequins podcast. You lads have had another brilliant year, and I hope that everyone else has too. Love you,
well,
boys.
Well, mate,
have
a
love
brilliant Christmas.
Work. Love
happy
your
new
podcast.
Year. I'll see you on the 27th.
Love your
happy
listeners.
Come on, you
love the Quins.
Come on, the Quins.
And I'll see you at the stoop soon.